You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are recapping an incredible Liga MX final, a MLS Cup final, and we have some more illustrious gifts to unbox.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Christy Mewis of not just of the Challenge Cup winning Houston Dash, but also of the women's national team scoring in the 70th minute against the Netherlands. Absolutely incredible. We talked to her about a lot. You got to check it out. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger,
and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go.
Vamos,
let's go. There's so much. What other soccer show starts off by yelling at you?
Okay? Just son, all right? Just like we were raised, okay?
All right, get up, go to school.
Right. What's wrong with you? It's Saturday. I said go to school.
Find a school that is open and go to it.
But there is
hello,
a
everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that exists on Fubo TV.
And on any other TV. Doesn't matter the channel on your phone, on your tablet. It doesn't matter. We are the funniest and also the gulliest. And I can't get a picture out of my head of a young child on a Saturday just knocking on the doors of an electrician school being like, look, my mom said I got to.
Okay, look, I can't go back there without at least some sort of textbook.
Right? Could you like give me a note of some sort? Show me what a transistor is. I'm trying not to get hurt.
No, we're excited about today because we have an amazing, amazing show. We're going to be joined a little later on by Christy Mewis of the Houston Dash and the U.S. Women's National Team. Obviously, she just scored an amazing goal against the Netherlands in a World Cup final. Rematch.
All we got is champs on this show.
Okay, look, where are our rings? All right, we need them. a hot show coming forward. A lot to discuss in NWSL. But let's start today with let's recap a little bit. The Liga MX final just happened between León. Pumas.
That's right. The second leg, obviously. Well, both. We could talk about both legs. You know what I mean?
Okay. Look, as many legs as there were, we're happy to discuss.
We're not exclusive to one or the other.
Okay. Was it an octo tournament where there's eight legs? Because we were happy to discuss it.
You know, it's funny. They said one of the players kicked the ball so hard he knocked over a tripod. And the announcer in Spanish goes, he knocked over the tres pies. And I was like, you know what? Never heard that before. Tres pies?
I've never heard it that way. I guess that's what it's called in Spanish.
Yeah. Makes sense. So we're talking about legs here. Turns out there could be three. Okay. But yeah, it was an exciting match. And we've talked about this before. There's something so exciting about watching Liga MX because it is absolute controlled pandemonium throughout the entire match.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that. Obviously, León wins the title. The first leg was 1-1, and then the second was 2-0. They were just dominant, right? I mean, or at least Pumas just couldn't find their any kind of rhythm or form.
Leg was much more back and forth, and it seemed like Pumas had a bit of momentum in that first leg until they gave up that last minute goal towards the end of the game. So when something like that happens, you just assume Pumas is still going to be able to get back in that rhythm. And they just, from that goal, they were never able to find it the entire second leg. They just didn't look like they had any possession or any controlled possession throughout the entire match.
And that's the thing. I've been seeing a lot of... look, we're definitely not Liga MX experts. We watch games here and there.
What? You're not, Christian? I am. I know everything about the league. Now, what are the team names again?
It's just interesting because it is like getting to learn a new league is sometimes feels a little bit daunting. And Liga MX fans feel this way about MLS or Premier League. It it can feel like a lot. But
there was MLS being the hardest one to kind of get an understanding of because the rules.
The rules, yeah. But then when it comes to Liga MX, you watch it and then
it's the lack of rules.
it's just like the refs were trained in a different at the center of the earth. I don't know why.
Who was it? Somebody posted like, "You ain't dead though, right?" Like that seems to be.
Yeah, and I saw this. I forgot who originally tweeted, but Amelia Lopez, who was on our show, she had retweeted somebody who said Liga MX is just professional Sunday league.
Yeah,
which is like it seems harsh and seems mean, but that it does feel a little bit erratic and a little bit crazy. And that's the thing. León had it did feel a little bit erratic, but in the times that they needed to have that composure, they had it, and Pumas did not.
Right. It seemed like what both teams were suffering from was a little bit of, you know, the inability to close the match out, to strike when they were in front of goal. Both clubs had opportunities. León with more. León were just the ones who found the back of the net. That was the literal difference between these two clubs.
but incredibly entertaining. We were on Twitch doing a watch along, and that was a lot of fun as well. Yeah. Let's also discuss the MLS Cup final, because I think this one, as far as a you know, unpredictability and probably a little bit more exciting, and that's totally subjective, but the MLS Cup final, you know, we had Derek Etienne on to discuss it, but a pretty incredible game overall. I mean, the fact that Columbus Crew were able to do what they did and win 3-0 against the Sounders, it also makes me think that the Eastern Conference, because of COVID and when the season restarted and the schedule came out, we didn't see any games between Western Conference and Eastern Conference team. They never played each other.
Right.
And I think that is what made the Sounders this is why they were so dominated, because
I have a different idea. I think it's that when the Sounders played this match, they stunk. Now, okay, I know what you're thinking.
Interesting. Okay.
Right? Like, you want me to break it down? I can. I honestly think a different Sounders showed up than what we saw in some of the other matches, because I think the teams they were playing against are just as strong, if not stronger, than Columbus, and they bodied them all. Postseason Seattle didn't show up to the main postseason match.
this is the big kahuna.
This is the one. You're built to this.
No, in my opinion, I think the Eastern Conference, and in that game I think showed it, the Eastern Conference was so much better than the Western Conference this year. Obviously, the Supporter Shield winner came out of the Eastern Conference. It was a weird
hard to argue, too, because Columbus is missing two of their most important players.
Yeah, yeah. Even like a weakened Columbus Crew sitting in the Eastern Conference was a stronger team than a full strength Western Conference Seattle Sounders. But again, congrats to the Columbus Crew supporters. Seattle, you how many times you're gonna win?
Seattle, relax.
It's difficult to show to feel that bad because we were just there last year at CenturyLink.
Seattle's we can't have a parade. I don't even want to win it this year, bro.
We're done. Again, congrats to Columbus Crew and congrats to León as well for their titles.
My favorite time is opening gifts, right? And we've got a couple things sent to us, and one of them, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's freaking me out. What the hell's in here?
Yeah, there's definitely, this one's a little bit more audible than usual.
Yeah. This is from Austin FC. So Columbus, we celebrated your victory. Now let us do this.
Okay, so let's see. Let's open this.
Oh, this is so dope. Look at this. It's their logo inside the box. It's the growing season is beginning. Austin FC's inaugural season starts spring of 21. We invite you to be part of this movement and grow the legend of Austin. Look at this. This is so... Wait a minute.
Where's my card?
It's acorns.
Oh, yeah. Look at this.
It's a box of acorns.
It's a box of acorns. Are these... Are these real? And they're like
dipped? Yeah, they are. And you know why I know that? Because one of them doesn't have the top on it. The top came off. Look, they were spray painted.
Yeah, can this is badass. Well, thank you. And obviously there's a cap in here. Thank you, Austin FC, for the illustrious gift. I mean, and shout out Austin FC already making some big signings. If you haven't seen, Nick Lima was traded there from San Jose Earthquakes. Ben
That's right.
Sweat went over
Ben
there.
Sweat only plays for expansion teams, so he had to move. It's just, by the way, hold on. It's also a Mitchell and Ness.
Oh, I didn't even realize quality is there.
Go, Austin.
And Cascante also. They're doing their thing out there. The other, we also had another gift sent to us.
Yeah, another that's lesson. Right.
This is out of
this one doesn't not as audible.
This is out of Portland. And thank you. This is from Aaron Duran, who's a big Timbers fan, Portland zone. And we got a PDX FC.
Shouts to PDX
scarf,
which we did. We helped support as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you were going to bring it up and I was like, wait a minute. Did we not?
So thank you.
I also got this cool kit from Klabu, which I don't know if you know this. This is the first, it's supposed to help in Africa. It's a team that has no actual home. So away is home is their slogan. And I haven't looked at it, but look at the patch is so dope. Look at how beautiful this kit is. Look at this. I mean, just the way it's packaged already. Very
nice. Okay, this is looking clean.
Right? Look at this bad boy. Yo, Avery Dennison has also become their first sponsor. So they're sponsoring this team, which helps support refugee camps all over the world. And I believe also stemming from Africa, which is so cool.
Amazing. They have this,
the Klabu Foundation is working to build the world's largest club by unlocking sports for young athletes in refugee camps. How dope
Amazing.
Is that?
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much to Austin FC. Thank you so much to
Klabu.
You know, PDX FC, Klabu. We appreciate it. We always love a nice, illustrious gift on the show. And make sure to come right back because we are going to be joined by Houston Dash's own Christy Mewis. Come right back.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, there's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Dan, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
All right, baby, we're back on our Cooligans Living Room FC, and finally, our guest is here, Christian.
I am absolutely thrilled. This is so. I mean, we're getting champions, not only just champions, but also people who are coming, like rising, like the phoenix, coming back into the spotlight where they deserve to be.
What a beautiful way to put it, Christian. Rising like a phoenix. I mean, what I would have said is body Netherlands after coming in the 70th minute and being like, yo, America is here. Was good. Shout outs to Boston. I mean, guys, I think probably the most iconic photo of the entire NWSL Challenge Cup
is
this person holding, and I counted, 438 Budweisers, okay?
What a wingspan.
Yeah, you know? And also me mugging everybody like, yo, go get your own. I don't know why you're trying to take my Budweiser. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most electric players for the Houston Dash and finally back in the women's national team. Put your hands together for the one, the only, and if you drive it, put that bad boy in park so we can hear you clap for Christy Mewis, everybody.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. This is an absolute honor. Obviously, with the level of success that you are currently dealing with right now, how do you do it, Christy?
I know. What are you just buying scratch offs all the time? Like, you can't miss.
Let's talk about the more recent history. Obviously, back in the U.S. Women's National Team, getting to score just such an awesome goal. What was the feeling like to be back on the team to score, and also, you know, deal with everything that's going on for in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously so great getting back with the national team, and it's just always been a dream of mine to get back and play with Sam again. So it was awesome. And I mean, these past two camps have been great, just dealing with everything and stuff. And it's just been a long time. Like, I haven't been back there in 6 years. So it was pretty crazy, but it was amazing. And I'm so thankful for it.
How did you find out that you were on the squad? Was it a phone call from somebody? Did Sam reach out and be like, look, there's going to be two Mewises, you know, out here.
Well, he just like Vlatko just like posted the roster, but he flashed it so quick that like I couldn't even find my name. Like, I was like, oh my God, am I even on it? He literally flashed it so fast, and all of us were like, who was even on the roster? Like, we all had no idea. But yeah, I ended up like seeing my name, and it was awesome. And I was like so proud to be part of like that 18, because obviously they haven't had that many games in 2020. So yeah, it was very special to see my name up there.
Yeah, like what I was just going to ask, like, you coming back from a really sort of pretty bad injury, right? Your ACL, to get 6 years of not, like, if somebody, I don't know who I used to like work with, was like, yo, 6 years later, like, yo, we need you back in the office. I'd be like, I'm doing something else now. Like, I can't be doing all that. It must feel different for you though, right? Because that's what you've been aiming for.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was definitely nervous and stuff, but I had been there before. So I was like, okay, like I have like a one up here a little bit. Like, I've been in this environment before. I know what they expect. I know how intense it is. So I do think like I had a little bit of like a one up, just like, it wasn't like my first camp in, you know what I mean? So I did kind of know what to expect. But obviously it's just like a completely different level there. Like, it's crazy intense. It's crazy, like, physical. It's just like a whole nother level to anything even in the professional world and stuff. So I definitely was a little bit nervous going in, just because I hadn't been in so long. And I feel like when you come in, you have a lot to prove, because, you know, there's so many vets on that team who have been around for so long. But, you know, those girls that I used to play with when I was with the national team, when I was like 19, 20, 21, those years, they had all still been there. So it was kind of funny for them to like, I hadn't been there in 6 years, and they've all been there that whole time. And they were like, oh, Christy, like, good to have you back. It's been a while.
Yeah, there's something really interesting to the just camp, the U.S. Women's National Team camps, where we've had a couple of U.S. Women's National Team players on the show. And in general, I feel like the public persona of individual players is usually like, everyone's like really cool, very nice, very, you know, uplifting and supportive. But what is camp like? Because it sounds like the level of competition is like everyone's a different person. They are not the same. You know, when you have the trivia game with your sister and everybody's kind of having a good time. What is it? Do you have to like tackle your own sister to keep your spot on the team? Like, how competitive does it truly, truly get?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's the most competitive environment I've ever been in, but it's just like, it's so, so intense, but it's just so good. Like, you crave that sort of competition. So it's just like, it's so much fun, but you like get so, like, you want to win all the time. Like, your team has to win. Like, there's just so much. It's like a good pressure. Like, you want to do so well and you want to compete and like you want to be the best. And it's just like the perfect environment for that. Yeah. But it does get really intense and sometimes it is overwhelming, but it's just, it's that like feeling that you crave. It's just like being an athlete. Like, that's just what you want. You want to play at the highest level and you like crave that competition, I think.
And yeah. It's shocking to see because online you're so supportive of your sister. If I had a sibling that was doing the same thing, like if I'm a stand-up comic, if I had a sibling who was getting a special, I'm like, I'm cutting the electric wires of the special. I'm not letting you get any shine. Like, how dare you look better than me? You're so different. You're like bigging your sister up. When y'all get on the field together, are you still like, good tackle on me? Way to studs up on me. I'm hurt. What are you always like this?
Yeah, I mean, like when it's just me and her, like we're so competitive with one another, but we also like, I feel like it's one of those environments where like we do have a little bit of a one up, like we're sisters, we're on the same field. So I think it's better for both of us just cheering each other on. There was this one moment in the game though where I kind of like screwed her over. I had like just got on the field, so I was fresh and Sam had been running around for like 70 minutes already. And like, I guess at the time, like I didn't really think of like how selfish it was, but I like ran back to my position when Sam was like across the field. So like she had to run like 100 yards to get back to her position when like I could have slid over to help her and I just didn't do it. Because I think I was just like in my own head and I was like, nah, like I need to, like self-preservation. Like I need to do the right thing. And she ran by me and she was like, Christy, you can slide over and help.
Yeah, yeah. She'll remember that later.
At some point she's just going to be like, I'm going to tell mom. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She got a little mad at me in the game and I had to like apologize after because it was super selfish.
Christy, let's talk a little bit about the Houston Dash. My dog. Anyway, I'll just keep going. Well, let's talk about the Houston Dash a little bit because we've had Shea Groom on the show, we've had Jane Campbell on the show, we've gotten kind of a piece together of like the celebration stories. Obviously, your photo of the Budweiser photo is incredibly iconic. I don't know how much that was the plan or the intention. It is so hilarious. It's just literally one of the best photos I have ever seen.
Are you excited to go to Paris and see it at the Louvre?
What was your experience like getting to celebrate that NWSL Challenge Cup victory?
Yeah, I mean, it was just such a difficult time. And like all of us, I mean, the Challenge Cup was just like draining, like so much went into it. So I think like just being able to celebrate at the end, it was just like a weight had been lifted off all of our shoulders and like we just felt so free and like just so happy because obviously the Dash like haven't been super successful in the past, so it was like really the first thing that we truly won as a club. And it was just so special that it was something like that. Like, of course, in 2020, like that's what we win. And it was so perfect. Like all of us were so happy. And you kind of, I mean, I obviously haven't had that much success in the league, like winning things and stuff. So it was just like, it was so good to like be the best and like win something. And you just, I had forgotten what that feeling felt like. So it was just like, I'll never forget those days when we were celebrating and I'll never forget that game. Like it was just, it was epic. Like we had so much fun and it was just so good to enjoy winning for once.
You had two really epic moments off the field after you win. One, obviously that picture, iconic. Second, I remember seeing this on Instagram stories. Did you coin the term taxiing beer? That is quite possibly the greatest invention of the, since the Wright brothers took off, the next invention for airlines. Well, that Wi-Fi, and then you, was it you who invented the taxiing beer?
I think so. I mean, I don't really remember because that flight was like definitely a blur. But yeah, I mean, we were just like, we all got on the plane and we were just so hungover, so tired. So like on the takeoff, we were just like kind of snoozing, like all dozing off. And my coach was like, what are you guys doing? Like, let's go. Like, let's go. So we started with like a champagne toast. And then obviously it was like all downhill from there in a good way. Like we just had, the flight was honestly like better than it was one of the better celebrations that we had. Like it was epic. Like we had a good time. And yes, we had taxi beers. We had everything beers. We had toasts. Like it was awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you just, I was like, why did coach bring a keg on the PJ? You know? Yeah.
That doesn't fit in the overhead. Or we're going to do it all. Oh, we're going to drink it all.
Okay. but the Challenge Cup itself, I mean, what felt different about this team and then this year? Because, we've watched you, come back from injury, like, and have some good games here and there. But this year felt like it was a new Christy Muir. So, or did you feel, even on a physical level, on a health perspective, did you feel like I'm at the best I've ever been in the last couple of years? Because you were absolutely balling out.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I did feel physically like the most superior, not like superior, but I just felt like so fit. I felt so ready. I think the past couple years after I did my ACL, I feel like I've said this so many times, but I just feel like it like woke me up a bit. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is your passion. This is your dream. Like, this is your career. You need to take it more seriously. Not that I wasn't taking it seriously before, but it was just like, I think I was just like a little bit down, like a little bit like just not feeling good. And then once I did my ACL, everything changed for me. I did feel just like physically and mentally, emotionally, just everything like my best self. And I think that that's obviously why it came out on the field that way. So yeah, I mean, I just took everything that I possibly could and just like made my situation as best as I could every single day. And I mean, I'm glad that it did come out like that on the field.
Were you, I mean, you obviously have a little bit of a history of being traded back and forth earlier in your career. When you got to Houston, I mean, you were Boston Breakers, FC Kansas City. When you got to Houston, were you like, just don't fold and this will be a good year? And then you end up winning the whole thing. having that little bit of stability now and having sort of like not just your place there, but now being at the point where everyone recognizes that comeback is fully sort of flourished, if you will. And now you're also on the women's national team back. Do you feel a bit more settled now as far as your career is concerned?
Yeah, I think it's important to as much as you don't need confirmation from other people, it is good to feel wanted and for people to appreciate you. And I feel like Houston as a club, ever since I got there, just appreciates me as a player. And like, I feel like they, you know, like love that I play for them. Like they believe in me. I feel like they've been the club that has truly invested in me. And James believes in me so much. I mean, I think he just like really likes me as a player. So I think it does feel good to be wanted and to be like accepted somewhere. So I do think that has played a huge role in why the Dash have been so successful, because I think that they just invest in their players and James has just surrounded us with such good people, such good players. And it just all kind of like meshed together this year and it obviously worked.
Yeah.
And just even, you know, to talk a little bit more about just the kind of the rebrand for the Dash and the Dynamo and being a part of that, like, there's a lot of positive energy coming from both clubs right now. What does it?
Yeah, y'all won so hard they had to change the logo. I mean, damn.
How does it feel to kind of be on that, even from like a kind of a marketing perspective? And then hopefully when COVID is over and fans are back in, in the stadium. How does it feel like to be a part of that transition?
I mean, it feels really good just because I think that Houston just really needed it. I mean, obviously, definitely as the Dash, like we haven't been as successful in the past. It hasn't been, you know, a playoff team. So I just think it was just so big for the organization, so big for the city, so big for us as players. Because I think a lot of the girls who have been on Houston in the past, like Rach and like Jane, they haven't been as successful. So I think it probably to them it just felt so good to finally be a part of winning something. And we just felt so proud, honestly. We felt so proud to be from Houston, and we felt so good that we were able to do something like that for the organization and for the city. And I just think it was super special because a lot of us players haven't been on successful teams in the past. So it was just like, it was really good for us.
And Christy, we have our own supporters. I know you're probably thinking, what, why? But no, it's true. Okay, we got fans. It ain't just y'all. And they're called Gully Squad. So they're our crew. And they got some amazing questions for you. I love this one from Emily Gertis. She says, what's next in the year of Christy Mewis? And I just love the way that's phrased, because it does seem like it's been a real it's the year of you everywhere we turn around. If women's soccer's been played, you drinking a beer or holding a championship a trophy. What's next in the year for you? And her other question is also, what is it that you think you did differently this year than previous years?
Okay, well, to answer the first part, what's left of my year? I mean, it's obviously going to be tough, but I mean, I'm going to try to celebrate Christmas with my family. It's just hard because we obviously all can't get together.
Yeah.
So it'll be tough to not see everybody, but I think I'm obviously going to see my parents. Sam's going to come home for Christmas, which is really good. And just continue training. I just took 2 weeks off and kind of like vacationed a little bit and ignored every responsibility that I've ever had. And it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm just kind of getting back into it and starting to train hard again. And just get ready for 2021. And then I think this year, it was very easy for people to, it was a very unmotivating year, I think, for a lot of people. And I just like did everything that I possibly could with all the downtime that I had to just make myself better. Like I was doing ridiculous stuff. Like I was going out to the park and like doing skills where like dogs were taking shits everywhere. And like old people were like walking around me, like pacing, doing like, I was just like, I did the most ridiculous stuff to stay fit and to just better myself. Like I was never not doing something to better myself, to recover. And like, I can just say that confidently, like I really did do everything I possibly could to make this year successful, even though it was probably the year where it wasn't that big of a deal if you did good or you did bad. But I just think that I honestly did everything in my power to make it the best year I possibly could. And I think it obviously helped a little bit.
That's amazing. Yeah. Because at the beginning of quarantine, I was like, you know what? I'm going to hop on Duolingo. I'm going to learn French.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
I'm going to be going straight to Paris next year, speaking fluently. I may have opened the app 3 times.
Yeah. Okay? That owl is pressing me. Let me tell you something. That owl is hardcore. But, you know, I want to point out, I think this was after you guys already won. You posted a carousel. You know what carousel is? Like you can slide through the photos on Instagram. Christy, you were working in every slide. I'm like, how many? 10 slides of different workouts. And I think you were doing it at home. I'm like, she won already. Someone tell her to relax. That should be 10 slices of pizza. Every slide is a different slice. What are you doing? I mean, you have worked out hardcore.
Yeah, I did. And it was, I mean, I obviously would have loved to take more time off, but we did have the fall series. So like you just had to like, it was just one of those years where it's like, it was honestly more exhausting than it was a normal season, because you went into preseason, then you stopped, then you individually trained again, then you stopped again, and then you went into preseason again. We had like 3 preseasons, and it was just like so mentally like up and down, like everything was just like so crazy the way everything happened. And it was a really, really difficult year. But yeah, I mean, I did do everything I possibly could to just stay fit, stay sharp. mentally, like, stay sane. So I did the best that I could.
Yeah, as anyone can, right?
Yeah.
And I want to ask about seeing your sister at Manchester City. I mean, she just scored the other day. She's just playing so well there, and clearly having a good time. And I want to ask, almost like, how much of the conversation, like, I almost feel a little bit like self-conscious asking you about your sister, because I'm like, oh, she probably gets questions about her sister all the time. She's the older right. sister.
This is she the Christy wanna... interview, you know what I mean? Why are you bringing up Sam?
Why are we talking about her? But obviously, it must be really cool to see her at Manchester City, and just the growth of women's soccer to the point where, you know, they wanted her there, and they wanted her to be kind of, not necessarily the face of the franchise, but really, it's a big deal that she went over there. What's it like just getting to see that?
It's I mean, she's so deserving of it. Like, I feel like Sam is just, she's not underrated, because I think that obviously everyone knows how good she is, but I don't think that she gets the praise that she should. Like, she is just, I mean, I know I'm older, but I look up to her so much, and I love talking about her. I love watching her play. Like, I just think she's my idol too. Like, she is just so hardworking, so driven, so ambitious. Like, the way that she plays, like, I want to embody that. I just think that she's so deserving of all the opportunities that she's getting. And I think she deserves even more, honestly. But seeing her over in Manchester, just, I mean, I'm not surprised how well she's doing. Like, she could crush any league that she ever went to. But it is so good to watch her games and just kind of see her taking over that team a bit and just being a leader. Being such a presence that I know that she can be. So I'm so proud of her, honestly. Like, I'm so proud to have her as my sister, and it's been amazing to see her over there.
All right. Is this real? Because if you ask my sister, she tell you, one, him, he ain't shit. And two, she says the only reason she doesn't get into comedy is because it would embarrass me too much and she's funnier than me. That's literally what she says when she's asked. And here you are just talking glowingly about your older sister. And she's about your younger sister. She's older than me. I mean, this is incredible. Did maybe that relationship between the two of you, did you think that aided in both of you sort of becoming better soccer players? The fact that you do get along, so maybe you played against each other and it didn't end up in crying and punching each other?
Well, we did not get along at all until, like, probably after college. Like, we it's so hard to explain, because, like, we respected each other so much growing up. Like, we trained with each other. Like, we did, like, love each other so much. And she was, like, my training buddy. But, like, we didn't see eye to eye on certain things. Like, we were those, like, young teenage brats where, like, we had our own friends. Like, we just didn't like each other.
Yeah.
So we weren't really, like, truly best friends until after college. But I mean, now she's literally my best friend in the whole world, and I feel so lucky to have her. But yeah, we did not, I mean, it's not all rainbows and butterflies in the Mewis household. Like, we had some brawls. Like, we did not like each other. So, like, it's definitely not, it's not like this lovey-dovey, like, our whole lives relationship. Like, we definitely had to work really hard to get where we are now. But I mean, she's everything. She's like the eyes in the back of my head, basically.
Yeah, who won in them brawls? Because she got the hype, but I feel like you're the scrappy one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she'll admit it too. Like, I won every time. Like, she's like, she's all bark and no bite at all. Like, nothing. And then once you get her laughing, like, she's done. Like, she's just done. Like, she caves like a weak tree. She just, like, falls to the ground.
We need to have her in a comedy show audience, that's for sure.
We had another question from Gully Squad that I wanted to ask. This is kind of in response to just NWSL and kind of being a part of the league for as long as you have. But he says, do you feel that NWSL may see the post-World Cup bump next season that 2020 wouldn't allow for? And also, you know, how has Houston's games, how have they changed when fans were allowed since the World Cup win? So usually, you know, obviously after every World Cup, there is that bump. There's a lot of excitement. What do you see for the future of the NWSL? We saw how great the ratings were. There was so much positivity there. So how do you feel about just the future of the league, given the recent success?
Yeah, I mean, I think the future of the league looks really bright, just with especially everything. I mean, I think the Challenge Cup was super successful. Obviously, like, the ratings were through the roof. But I do think that everyone's going to be so excited to get back there in the stands, especially in Houston. I think we kind of revamped the fans' hopes a little bit. You know, it's obviously, I mean, it's so hard to support a team that's not always winning, that's not always a playoff team. But our fans are so loyal and they're so good to us. And I think that, I mean, hopefully 2021 we'll be able to have some sort of fan base in the stands, because it must just, I mean, we obviously miss them so much. Like, we want them out there supporting us. So hopefully there's some of that in the future. But again, I mean, it's just been, they've been so supportive. And I think that the league has been so successful. So I think we definitely have a bright future ahead.
Yeah, especially with all the changes coming for NWSL, new teams being added, Louisville, Los Angeles. How excited are you about all the changes that are happening with NWSL and all the excitement that seems to be for the future? And also, you had played for Bayern Munich, you'd played in Australia, you'd played in Japan. What are some of your thoughts about potentially going on a loan to Europe? Is that a part of your plan? Do you see that in the future? I mean, are you obviously a lot more expensive now because of all the championships and whatnot? You
know? Yeah, sorry. What was the first? What were those first questions? I think you just asked me 17 questions.
Yes,
in a row.
Well, that was
I have
the
no
plan.
Idea. Yeah,
I'm trying to rattle.
I don't even remember one of them. So
I said, with the growth of the league, how exciting are you with that? Do you plan on going to Europe? I guess I could have just said that.
Yeah, the growth of the league is sick. Obviously, I mean, the more teams, the more games, the more fans, the more, you know, the more eyes on us. I think. Is this like my 9th year in the league? This is going to be my 9th year in the league. So, like, I'm getting up there. but it has improved so much since the first year. And I think it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing as women's soccer grows. So it's really, really special to be a part of that. And it's so good to see that, like, you know, I might be having an impact in why the league is doing so well, why women's sports is growing. It is truly special to be a part of something like that. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting for sure. And I think the more teams that come in, it just shows so much growth in women's sports and how successful we're being and the impact that we're making for obviously the younger girls that are going to grow up and want to have a league to play in. So it's really special.
Yeah.
And then, playing overseas, I mean, I would love to play overseas again. It's just very difficult because, you know, as the league grows, the season gets longer. We have more games. So it's difficult to kind of sign for a team for a short term, unless you're like a very, you know, like well-known player, you're a national team player. It is difficult. But I mean, I definitely see that for me in the future. I would love to play overseas again. I enjoyed my time so much. And it's such a good cultural experience. And I think you can also learn so much about the different leagues, the different players, the different styles. Like, I do think that I learned so much at Bayern and in Japan and my short stint in Australia. You kind of just pick up on things that I don't even think you realize that, like, you use those little, just like little lessons that you have.
Are there any like examples that maybe you could shed some light on?
Yeah. In Japan, if we would play 5v2 and if I got stuck in the middle, I was in the middle for 20 minutes. Like, I was never getting the ball. They were megging me. They were laughing at me. And it was just because they're just so technically sound on the ball. And I think it also kind of like showed me, it's like, Chrissy, like, are you a professional soccer player or no? Like, yeah, do you actually play soccer for a living?
Like, you just sit there crying in the middle as the ball's going around.
Yeah, they were just like embarrassing me. And I was like, I like should go home and like maybe reconsider my career.
That's unreal.
So then, like, I wanted to be like that. Like, I wanted to be that technically sound, that like savvy on the ball. So I think it kind of changed the way that I looked at my technical ability. Like, I wasn't trash, but like, I wasn't what they were. So I think that kind of drove me to improve my technical ability, which I definitely did. But yeah, I mean, it's like little things like that I was like, wow, Chris, you're not as technical as you thought you were.
Right. You were coming in like, America's here, folks. Back it up. And they're just like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it was like very embarrassing.
Hilarious. There's another thing I wanted to talk about. And I just forgot to mention, Thomas A. Thornton was the one who asked the question before that I had mentioned. I forgot to mention his name. We did a live event. This was in North Carolina, and Megan Rapinoe was there. This is for the ICC. Megan Rapinoe was in front of might have been like 2,000, 3,000 people. And even before she got there, there were so many people, children coming up to us because they knew we were hosting the event. And they were like, hey, can you give this photo I drew of Megan? Like, they've never done this with MLS players. They've never done this with anyone else that we've been, any other players we've been around. And when you think about the future of the league and just the impact of female athletes, that there seems to be, and I think this year was very impressionable and transformative when it comes to the influence that the female athlete has on this country for not only just sports reasons, but for you know, social justice and all these things. What is it, because NWSL was very much at the center of that. From your perspective, like having that kind of influence and impact on younger generation, what does that feel like for you?
Yeah, I think it's obviously just so special right now to see females as icons right now. Like, I just feel like there's always been like male athletes, like we've all looked up to male athletes. So I think that it's Megan Rapinoe is an icon now, like everyone knows who she is. I just think it's so special that like women are now kind of getting the spotlight and we're seen as successful. We're seen as like really great athletes. So I think that's obviously why everyone's so excited about it. And I think that's why it's also so special, that it's kind of like women are in the spotlight now. And, you know, it's kind of like, look how special we are. Like, look how much of an impact we can have. Whereas men have obviously had it for so long. So I think that's obviously why it's just like so cool to see. And yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's just no kid is going to draw a picture of us and ask us to sign. It's not going to happen.
No. Unless it's like, this is the guy who stole my ice cream, you know?
Thank you so much to Christy Mewis for joining us. Obviously, it's great to have a champion, okay, scoring out in Netherlands as well. The resume is still growing. So, Christy, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No, just thank you guys so much for following me and the Dash, and just all the support that I've got this past year has been amazing. And just look out for us in 2021. We're really excited. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. That is, look out for us. Sounds like a threat to all.
I'm right behind you, son.
Christy, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, also make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports, and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. And we are absolutely honored to have Christy Mewis join us as well. So for Christy Mewis, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!